The British writer, director, and film producer Stephen Weeks is fascinated by the past, and he relishes exploring the unexpected and sometimes uncomfortable details that tend to be left out of the history books. This is certainly the case in his novel Daniela, which is set mainly in Prague in the last months of World War II and is steeped in historical detail. In this week's Czech Books, Stephen Weeks talks to David Vaughan about the book.
At over 700 pages, Daniela is epic in scale. It is a love story and an adventure, but also an exploration of the moral complexities of surviving in war. On the way, it evokes vividly the atmosphere of wartime Prague. Like so many writers before him, Stephen Weeks has found living in Prague an inspiration, and he told me why when we met to talk about the book at his flat in one of the narrow streets of the Lesser Quarter.
What is so interesting here is that history is actually around us. The buildings that most people live in were the scenes of historical events, both the Nazi occupation followed by the communist era were extraordinary historical events, and although they have actually passed into history, they are really still alive. People remember them, the buildings actually reflect them.
It's rather strange, isn't it, the way that so much of the architectural legacy survives, that it's almost unnerving sometimes, isn't it, being able to go back to exactly the places where, sometimes where terrible things have happened in the course of the 20th century.
Yes, a friend of mine restituted, that is, got back ownership of after communism, a big block of flats that her family had owned before communism. And one day she just recounted the extraordinary events that took place on her landing, where there was a big shootout, there were some people committed suicide, all kinds of terrible things. It was in the May uprising of 1945, and yet, of course, this is a hallway that I'd walk through often. You'd never, ever know that such a thing took place. And these things, to me, are very interesting.
We're going to be talking today about your novel, Daniela, much of which is set in Prague during the Second World War. And you really are almost like an archaeologist, aren't you? You're sort of exploring the layers of history of that time in many ways.
It began, actually, as an exercise in trying to show a city on the edge of a cliff. And indeed, in 1945, Prague was on the edge of this cliff. It could have been completely destroyed by the Nazis. It nearly was. Then, of course, the terrible tsunami of communism overtook it.
And let's look a little bit at the plot, because it is very complicated. It takes us through the battlefields of the Eastern Front to Stalingrad. It takes us to Breslau, now Wroclaw, and then to Prague, and takes us through many of the places where some of the most dramatic events of the Second World War were happening. On top of that, of course, you had the almost forgotten story of General Vlasov's Russian army, his anti-Soviet Russian army.
Well, originally, I wanted to tell the core story, which takes place in Prague from November 1944 until May 1945, when the hero of the book, the protagonist, has a love affair with a woman here. This is something he never, ever forgets, so it colours his entire life. But before then, I wanted to sketch in his life in some detail so that by the time he gets here, we know what this character is, what his conditioning is. He is, in fact, Jewish, so that, of course, colours it in a tremendous way. So he has a sort of secret life as well. And then again, to show how enduring this love affair was in his life and how it affected his later life, the last quarter of the book takes place after he left Prague and takes us right through until 1997 when he dies.
The story is full of surprises. The hero is Jewish, and yet he ends up fighting on the German side in Stalingrad. He ends up in General Vlasov's army, which is again fighting on the German side. You're almost breaking taboos, in a sense, in putting your hero in a Wehrmacht uniform.
Well, what I wanted to express, and it is a theme through the whole story, is that absolutely nothing in love or war is black or white. Everything's a funny shade of grey, and nothing's as it seems. And this is his life. Nothing quite worked out the way he wanted it to, but he's buffeted by fate. And really, he's never makes a choice. I mean, the choices are all made for him in some way. You never say, why did you do that, Nikolai? Because you have seen that his only choice to survive is something, and he takes it.
And the part that most fascinates me are the episodes about General Vlasov's army, simply because it's such a little-known historical episode. The fact that there were these Russians fighting against the Red Army with the Germans, and then they switched sides and helped to liberate Prague from German occupation in May 1945. There's, again, an extraordinary twist there.
As soon as I got hold of General Vlasov, I realised I had the key man in all this. And you can't write anything about the Nazi occupation and the Prague uprising and so on without thinking of General Vlasov. And the more I researched him, the more complex and interesting a character he became. And he knew he was dicing with history. I think all along he had in his mind to double-cross the Germans. It was a very, very interesting thing. As it was, only 50,000 of them got properly organized. 25,000 of these soldiers reached Bohemia, and they were trying to make their way to get to the Americans in where they estimated they'd be, near Pilsen, which they ended up being. So it was an extraordinary thing, and they helped the Czechs, one has to say, altruistically. They were asked to. General Bundachenko, who was second in command to Vlasov, was simply asked by the Prague committee, the Rada, to help them because the British had failed to bring their support because Stalin had vetoed it, and consequently the Prague uprising was without its proper backup, and Vlasov supplied it.
Let's hear an extract from the book, a moment during the Prague uprising when it looks as though the Germans are going to do their best to destroy Prague before retreating.
Obviously this book is a mixture of fact and fiction. And the truth is that this episode that's coming up is fiction. But the fact is that the Nazis did have genuine plans to blow the whole place up, and these were thwarted. So Prague was saved by someone's intervention. Then rapidly, pam, pam, pam. The empty cartridge cases clattered onto the ground, followed noiselessly by Skobol's cigarette end. He'd got all three. He smiled as he ground his dog end into the pavement, knowing he'd got them all for one fag. We probably had very little time until this act would be noticed. Dodging the anti-tank ditches and the German barricade, we hurtled onto the bridge, surprising the guards who were lounging over the other parapet, just by one of the famous statues. We pulled to a sharp stop by a manhole cover invisible amongst the cobbles. Glazer flashed some kind of pass over in the direction of the guards, who did nothing. Soon, we were hauling up bundles of dynamite, and Skobol and I heaved them over into the river. As we were doing this, another KW jeep had pulled up, and two SS men were also heaving something into the ever-receptive Vltava. "So what's yours, then?" I called across to them. One of them lifted a black cloth. It was a blade, a shiny, diagonal blade fixed to a heavy block. It could have been from one thing only, a guillotine. I said nothing more to them, but watched it splash into the fast-flowing water below. How easy it would have been for them if their crimes could so easily have been eradicated.
You tie in quite extensive historical research with the story that you tell, and the romantic story you tell as well. Tell me a little bit about the key romance of the story, the figure Daniela, who gives the book its name.
Well, Nikolai, the hero, falls in love with a woman who is working as a prostitute. But there's something enigmatic and unexplained about both her and her actions, which really comes clear as the story progresses. And we only finally know what she really was doing at the very end of Nikolai's time in Prague. And it justifies everything that had gone before. Oddly, perversely, I'm going to read a piece that is, in fact, to the death of Daniela. I'm not really ruining the story for you, because I think you'll know from the introduction that Nikolai lives, because he's obviously very old at the beginning, and that Daniela doesn't. That's why he's sad. So she dies at some point. And this is, in fact, her death. And I was inspired to write this because I met an English lady here, Joy Kadechkova, who was an interpreter. She spent her life here as an interpreter. She was the wife, English wife, of a Czech RAF pilot. On her way into Prague, she was herself nearly suffered the same fate because people on the train thought that she was either German or a Czech who had collaborated with the Germans, neither of which was true, of course.
I have to point out this is in fact narrated by Nikolai's sister-in-law, and she's in hospital. So, on the train to Prague, it was crowded. The only one that day. People were on the roof, clinging to the sides. We managed to get a single place on one of the wooden benches. She stood and I collapsed onto it. I had a sore throat and stomach pains, and I could feel my temperature really beginning to rise now. I was beginning to feel delirious too. I remember someone saying something about her fur coat. Huh, that's what only a German whore would have. Daniela was saying a name to me. Could it have been Mrs. Polachkova, who had lived downstairs at her house in Zhizhkov? What was she doing on the train? But it was her, because she was saying Daniela's name. Other people began shouting too. They were shouting, "Nazis, tart, collaborator." A Czech man asked if he should open the window. It was all blurred to me. I tried to move, but I couldn't. I couldn't save her. I wasn't even able to cry out. I was paralyzed. I wanted to say, "Yes, she's a good Czech, saving a Czech Jew." Then I wondered if they even liked Jews, these people. I was all confused. Daniela was still holding the bunch of teasels in her hand. The train was going quite fast. There was a rush of air from the open window. It revived me, but too late. Daniela's terrible screams had passed like the whistle of a train hurtling by in the opposite direction. She had been thrown from the window. The same man looked out of the window a moment, then pulled the glass back up and rubbed his hands together as if it had been nothing.
And that's a scene that has echoes of that rather horrible tradition in Prague of defenestration.
Yes, that was part of this consciousness as well, in a strange way.
And I should add that Daniela isn't your only novel set in this country.
No, I have started a Prague detective, and my detective is a woman. She's a countess whose mother is English, and she, in her turn, has married a Czech count. So she's a half-English Czech countess. And her casebook runs from 1904 to 1914. And first of all, I planned 10 novels. The first one was published as Hraběnka Vonesnázik, translated into Czech, in 2007. The second novel, Sins of the Father, is about to be translated. And then I've now got another 8 to make. So,
Stephen Weeks, we've had so little time really to talk about the many levels, particularly of this book, Daniela, which has nearly 800 pages, and there are many layers that you can uncover in it. But I hope that we've managed at least to give our listeners a taste of the book. Thank you very much indeed for talking to us.
And thank you.
Many thanks to David Vaughan for that edition of Czech Books.